So, we'll just start with what's just your name, your title, and how long you've been at Nate.
I'm Don Boomer, Associate Dean Administration for the School of Skilled Trades. Been here almost 25 years.
Wow.
Started October 26th of 1992.
That's a long time.
Yeah.
Well, we're here to talk about Tough Enough to Talk About It, obviously. Can you describe what the Tough Enough to Talk About It program is and how it's involved with Nate?
Tough Enough to Talk About It is a program that comes out of the suicide prevention office, I guess we'll call it, in Grand Prairie. About 3 years ago, we had a woman contact Nate, and she wanted to talk to some people. She'd found a program that was being presented in the Camrose area. We found out later that her son had been a welding apprentice with us over at the Such campus, and he died by suicide. So she's a champion for anything that can help people out, if you will. So I attended the meeting, and I thought it was a really, really good program, something that we needed here at Nate. Some of the stats that they presented during that initial meeting were just staggering. Mm-hmm. 500 and some people died by suicide in Alberta every year. In the Peace Country, their stats or their data said that 75% of the people were men, and that's mainly because of the way men deal with things generally. Their stats also said that there were three major groups involved with suicide or attempts. The third most common group was farmers. Second most common group was students. And the most common group was people in trades and industry. Mm. Well, we have students in the trades here. It was a no-brainer as far as the school was concerned that we bring some sort of awareness in. This program is just a facilitated session, if you will, where they've given us a PowerPoint, suicide prevention, and they've made a few videos that we can show partway through the PowerPoint presentation. And it's more, as I said earlier, it's more about awareness. It's not just, hey, if you're thinking about this, here's some things that might help. Mm-hmm. It's also being aware of your family and your coworkers and things like that. And if you notice something, talk to them. Mm-hmm. Get them talking to you. So we present this this session, about 45 minutes, an hour, sometimes as short as half an hour. It's somewhat shortened up than what suicide prevention actually presents, because we have to fit it into our apprenticeship classes, and we're mandated to give a certain amount of time to the students on various subject matter. So we decided we really needed to do something like this for the students, and especially your trade students. It was initially called Men at Risk, mm-hmm. because 75% of the people are men. They must have gotten some flack from that, which, rightly so. So they changed it to Tough Enough to Talk About It.
Well, thank you. Awesome. That was perfect. so you have a background in the trades, do you not?
Yes.
Yes. What was it like back, it would have been more than 25 years ago when you were working in the trades? What was the attitude like back then regarding mental illness?
It was not spoken about. It was completely swept under the rug. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And people got angry. They didn't want to talk about it. Just before I started working here, I was working with a young apprentice, Novacore Joffrey, and I was telling him I was going to be working at Nate and that, and he was saying, yeah, maybe you'll even be my instructor, and this was on a Friday. And so we had a good time doing our work and chatting away, and he didn't show up for work Monday, and as a matter of fact, he never showed up for work again. And I found most of the people around the site were angry at him. But nobody was willing to talk about it. And that's just, we need to get away from that sort of culture. Mm-hmm. Not just in the trades, whether you're in post-secondary education or high school or anything. The attitudes have to change. I did presentations on the program to different program areas within our school. Mm-hmm. And one of the first questions I always ask is, how many of you have been affected or touched by suicide? And generally, the instructional staff that are in there, more than 50% put up their hand. So they know somebody, or you know, some people multiple times have been affected by suicide. So mm-hmm. it's got to change.
How has the attitude about discussing mental health among trade students changed since you've been at Nate?
I don't think it's changed very much yet, but when we were running the pilot, it was only in a couple of programs, so we haven't had the opportunity really to gather any data on if attitudes have changed. Mm-hmm. The students are more willing to talk about stuff like that than they were when I first started here. But that's a cultural shift with the millennials and the Gen Xers and things like mm-hmm. that. They're smarter about it than we were when I was going through school.
Mm-hmm. What do you hope this program will lead to in the future at Nate?
I'd like to see it go completely across Nate. Like right now, it's mostly just in the School of Skilled Trades. But since I did an interview with CBC Radio sometime in August, I can't even remember anymore. And the amount of feedback I've gotten is surprising. I did the interview on a Friday morning, and the next Wednesday I was hiking up a mountain, and my phone rang, and it was CBC Radio from Prince George or something like that. They wanted to do an interview on it.
Wow.
I've been contacted by one of the safety committee from the local 488 Plumbers and Pipefitters Union. He wants to learn more about it, and I've had a lot of emails and that from within Nate, people that want to help out or at least learn more about it. So that's a good thing. That's awesome.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what does it mean to you personally to have this program at Nate now?
I'm hoping that we can help the students out and the staff. Nate is, in my opinion, is very forward-thinking when it comes to mental health issues. We've won an award for our mental health first aid program that a lot of the staff can take, and it may be available to students as a con ed course now. I'm not sure about that.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes me feel really good that everybody's just said, go for it, run with it. Because another thing about these programs, I'm bouncing all over, I apologize.
That's fine.
It's not counseling. When I ask for facilitators, volunteers, it's just to do the presentation and at the end hand out some phone numbers, websites, whatever. One of the things that I found out when I first started trying to implement this program was NATESA has an awesome program that they I guess bought into or purchased or what have you, called mywellnessplan.ca.
Mm-hmm.
Are you familiar with?
I'm not, no.
I might have a card here. And I'm really, really impressed that NATESA did. This was a few years ago, but it's available to all NATE students.
Mm-hmm.
And NATESA brings those cards in, and I just have the staff that are facilitating go get a bunch
mm-hmm.
from Megan Brodeur in the NATESA office downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
It's got the mood ring sticker on it,
mm-hmm.
but it's a website that you can go to, and it asks very intuitive questions. It's a very intuitive survey, I guess you'd call it,
mm-hmm.
Where they'll ask questions, and as you answer, it'll take some of those answers and start directing down the path. So if they think, if the survey thinks you're too stressed, take you this way. If they think you're drinking too much, you're doing, you know, self-medicating a little too much, it'll take you down another pathway, and it'll give you a report, if you will, at the end. And that's something you print off and take to your doctor if you want. It also will give you some helpful hints. So we always make sure that the students get those.
Very cool.
Because a lot of the trade students, because they're here for such a short duration, they don't get as involved with NASA or NATESA, pardon me, as a lot of the other students. So they can, the full-time students generally have more information towards this sort of stuff. Trade students, not so much. So now these are being handed out to all of the second year apprentices. And here I go again, jumping around. We chose second year with the trade students because, well, we've got a number of programs. We have one program, at least, that doesn't even have a second year, so they have to kind of fit it in where they can. But currently, steam fitter, pipe fitter, and welder, and a couple of others are only three-year programs. So first year, when you get here, you're worried about fitting in, finding out where your classes are, what the expectations are. Are you going to get your homework done? Especially with trade students, because most of them are older. A lot of the trade students haven't been in, like, got out of high school 10, 15 years ago. They're not ready for school, and we don't want to take any time away from them. The final year of the program, whether they're here for 4 weeks or 8 weeks or 12 weeks, they're just worried about getting their ticket. So we thought second year, we'd rather do it first. But we do have a gentleman that comes in and talks on safety, Spencer Beach, who was horribly, horribly burned. He was a tradesman. And he gives a very thought-provoking hour-long talk to all of the first-year apprentices. So we put it in the second year, hoping that the students are more familiar with what's expected of them. But it's still early enough in the program that hopefully it'll help. They can take it home, they can take it to work, they can self-realize whatever with the program. So
I just have one more. So if you could send a message right now to students feeling the weight of mental health issues, what would you say?
Talk to somebody. Get some help. There's lots of help out there. Stats even show that, it's funny, stats show that tradespeople will often say, why didn't they come talk to me? Why didn't they? And yet, they won't talk to somebody else themselves. With the students being a little more socially and culturally aware, it's easier now, but talk to somebody. If you're feeling pressures, whether it's depression or anxiety or what have you, get some help. Talk to counseling. Phone some of the lines that you can phone. If you're in a crunch, I'm not as impressed with websites because it's not immediate. And a lot of times when you start feeling that much pressure, I think you need immediate help. Somebody to talk to, not something to read. So I would say just find some help. Someone to talk to. Even if it's a friend or a coworker, a family member, talk to them, get some help.